Thank you, ladies. I hope that you've all experienced the freedom that you can have in Jesus Christ, having your sins forgiven, because not everyone is on their way to heaven. In fact, it says narrow is the way. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leadeth unto God. And so I pray that you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ. You've had him forgive you of your sin, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. So we have a great opportunity, a great privilege of being considered sons of God. Now, none of us deserve it. None of us, because there's no way we can earn it. We are sinners, but we are saved because Jesus Christ paid the price for my sin and for your sin as well. And so to trust him to do that then makes us new creatures in Jesus Christ. And so I pray that you're a believer this morning. If not, maybe the Holy Spirit will work on you today as we look at Acts chapter 12 again. Now, the theme of my message is don't stop praying. And I am having a little difficulty getting through this passage because the Lord has been working on my heart that there are times when I stop praying. In Acts chapter 12, they didn't stop. And we're going to see that they experienced some of the same difficulties that I experienced. And maybe you do as well. Now, before I read these verses, I want to read, Peter is the main character. Well, Christ is, but in Acts chapter 12, but Peter's the one we're reading about. But Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 3, and we looked at this last Sunday as well, and I think that he is looking back at the experience we're going to read about in Acts. When he writes this in 1 Peter chapter 3, he says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, over his children," is what it is saying. He's watching us, he's looking at us, caring for us. Now, it isn't with a sledgehammer. Sometimes when I was a kid, I thought, well, God is watching, so I better not do what I'm thinking I want to do. God is watching. God, in this case, he's saying, God is watching over us for our good. Our good. And so, but the second part of that says, and his ears are open unto their prayers. And the third part is, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And all three of these are brought out in Acts chapter 12, and I'm just going to read the first 11 verses, and if you want, you can glance at the other verses after that, but Acts 12, now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James the brother of John with the sword. He was beheaded is what they are talking about here. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. So because of the days of unleavened bread, they couldn't kill him until that feast was over. So they keep him in prison till this feast is over. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, and they put Peter in prison, and delivered him to 16 soldiers to keep him. Four groups of four soldiers, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side. And raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angels. He couldn't believe it, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Let's pray. Father, as we look at these verses, help us to grasp the truth of your word, not just our own thoughts, please. Fill me with the Spirit. Might we all allow the Holy Spirit to move within us, to teach us, to convict us, to change us, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we met here and we began praying for Crystal Berenger Grotsky. And they are in Spain. Seth is our son, our middle son, and he married Crystal Berenger, and they have a little girl, Tanzan, who just turned 5, and when they were home this summer, they found out that she was pregnant again, which they did not know could happen. The last time Crystal was pregnant with little Tanzan, we were there at the hospital down in South Minneapolis, and we visited with her. She got lightheaded. We gave her a washcloth to put on her head. We left because we thought the confusion of Cindy and myself and our other two daughters were with us, that it was too much for her. So we left, and after getting to see the baby, getting to see Tanzan and mom and dad, and then we started down Highway 212 or across town. And just got a couple miles down the road, got a phone call from Seth saying, Can you come back? Can you come back? Crystal's had a stroke. They don't think she's going to live. We turned around. We went back. Now they had her in the emergency room. It didn't look good. They did not know how they would be able to deal with the stroke, the clot in her head, because she had just delivered and would bleed out. And so it just so happened, a coincidence, that there was a doctor that had just a new procedure to help with this type of a situation. Some surgeon was there. And so we gathered in a room outside of the surgical room with the like three doctors, Seth, myself. We held hands, we prayed. I prayed for the surgeons, and they went in and they said again, "Do you want us to try this? Are there options?" "Not really." "Okay, do it." And of course, that Crystal survived, and Tanzan. For a week, Cindy and I cared for Tanzan because Crystal had to be in the hospital, and. And so her life was spared. 2 Sundays ago, we gathered as a church family and we prayed because Crystal was going to go in to have to deliver little Grant on Monday, but the baby had flipped the wrong way. And so it was going to make it a very difficult birth. And that the fear was that the baby would have to be taken cesarean. She has been on blood thinners as soon as she knew she was pregnant, twice a day, shots in the stomach for this. And so there was a lot of concern on doctors' parts, on our part especially. We prayed. We asked the Lord to turn the baby. We went to bed 2 weeks ago, Sunday night, praying. We prayed Sunday night here at church, and we prayed during the night, and 4 a.m, we get a text from Seth saying, "The baby's turned, we're on our way to the doctors." And so we were praising the Lord. It's 4 in the morning, 4:40, I think. 4 in the morning, it was 10 o'clock in Spain and 10:40. And they were on their way, safe delivery, little Grant. Grant Ian, 8 pounds, 7.5 ounces, a nice big little boy. And the baby was healthy. And so we rejoice in prayer. But here's the kicker. What would have we done if it hadn't turned out that way? In this account, and the reason I chose the title, Don't Stop Praying, is because, do you think the church was praying for James? We know what they were praying. They all got together and prayed in Acts chapter 4. When things were going south, they prayed. And they, I believe, they prayed for James. And he was beheaded. And this, what happens then when, in a couple of weeks, they take Peter? Why should we pray? Why should we pray? Because it didn't do any good for James. Have you ever been there? Are you there now? The reason this touches me is because I have been there. Why pray? Last time I prayed, it didn't do any good. It's kind of the theme for this morning, because maybe you are there. A good friend of mine said, well, I think God must have something against me because he's not hearing my prayers. Now, I wouldn't mention that except that that could be me. I have done that. God, what do you have against me? Now, I've been there, and you might have been there, or you might be there, or you might get there in the future. So I want us to look at this and kind of hash through it a little bit, because God sees our trials. That's the first of the three things in this passage. God sees our trials. God saw James' trial. He saw James in prison, and he got beheaded. He saw Peter in prison, and he was released by an angel. What's the problem here? Well, first thing we see, and we talked about it a little bit, is the last time, is the lack of humanity for life here on the part of Herod. And last time we mentioned, well, the abortion bill and everything, but now this week they were arguing the case for physician-assisted suicide and what that's going to mean if it passes here in Minnesota. It's going to be a difficult thing for doctors and hospitals and for preachers and for us if that goes through, and I understand some of the thinking about it, but it is really up to God to decide when we are born and when we leave this earth, when we die. And it's his choice, whether we like the choice or not. It needs to be his choice. But God was watching Herod. God was watching Simon Peter. And this is, he sent no angel. What do we need to remember when he sends no angel to deliver us from the sword? That God is sovereign. God is in charge. God is in control. Whether we like the way he's controlling things or not, it is God's decision, and we've got to believe that he is good and that he is right and that he is holy and he is just all of the time. And he is love all of the time, even when things don't go our way and even when we suffer. Sometimes we think that suffering comes because it is punishment. No, that's unscriptural. Suffering is not punishment. Paul, working for God faithfully, prays 3 times that the affliction, the thorn in his flesh, that some believe was blindness, but probably left out, or is losing his eyesight, but probably didn't mention it so that we could all fit and use that verse in our lives. And so, but he found out that God's grace is sufficient for me. And so to help me through my suffering. Suffering is not punishment, though we might feel that that's the way it is sometimes. So God is in charge, so we pray. And when he delivers Peter, we say, "Thank you, Lord." God is in charge, so we pray. So when he has James beheaded, we say, "Thank you, Lord." Sounds harsh, but God's in charge. I want to point out four reasons why we might suffer this morning. And if you're in the middle of suffering, one of these should fit. If it doesn't, let me know, and I'll add five, for in 10 years I might preach this message again. Okay, number one, sometimes we suffer because of our own sin. See, the way of the transgressor is hard. We step away from God, we walk the bad path, and we know that it's going to lead to destruction. Solomon says it over and over again, and Paul says, you know, some in 1 Corinthians, in the Corinthian church, some have walked away so far that God has taken you. You now sleep. You've been killed by God. Your life has been ended in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The way of the transgressor is hard. The prodigal son got hungry. And he didn't sleep at night because the hunger or whatever it was. He had a great time to start with, but the prodigal son walked away from God, his father, and he suffered. Sometimes we suffer. It's self-inflicted. It's because of our sin. That wasn't the case with James, though. Because he was an apostle, and he was walking with God, and he was one of the, in the inner circle, Peter, James, and John. They were one of the, he was one of the three that were closest to Jesus. And he got beheaded. So that wasn't the case. It wasn't for his own sin. Number two, sometimes we suffer because by one man's sin, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And by one man's sin, Adam sinned. Eve helped him along. But sin entered into the world, and death by sin. We live in a broken world, and that's used a lot, and it's a good description. We live in a fallen, broken world. Floods will happen. Tornadoes will happen. Hurricanes will happen. Accidents will happen. Cancer will happen. Lyme's disease will happen. Fibromyalgia will happen. Whatever you've got going on in your life, these things will happen because we live in a fallen world. So, one, because of our own sin. Two, because of the sin of, we can blame it on Adam, I guess. We are all sinners. Fallen world. Number three, sometimes we suffer because of the sins of others. Now, we just talked about Adam and Eve. I'm saying sometimes we suffer. Sometimes a baby is born with fetal alcohol syndrome and has no fault of their own. Somebody else. Or die of cancer, get cancer from secondhand smoke, whatever it might be. A loved one commits suicide, and who does the hurting? Who does the suffering? The ones that are around them. A drunk driver crosses the center line, and there's a head-on. Sometimes we suffer because of the sins of others. Sometimes, number four, sometimes we suffer so that God can be praised. That's what happened to James. Jesus and the apostles are walking, and they're about to enter the temple area, and here is a blind man who is begging, and that's where they would line up, and you would give your alms by doling out gifts to these that are handicapped. And here's a blind man, and one of the apostles said, "Jesus, who sinned? This blind man, because he was blind from birth, it says in John 9, this blind man or his parents? And Jesus said, neither. But see, they think a lot like we think. Somebody must have sinned for this to happen. And Jesus said, no. No, the reason this man was blind from birth is so that God might be glorified. Now that's, are you willing, would you put up with, I don't know how old this man was. I don't think it tells us there in John 9 how old he was. Just blind from birth. Would you put up with blindness so that Jesus Christ, a God, can be glorified? This man did. And then Christ healed him. So that God would be glorified through the healing of this man. So sometimes we suffer so that God will be praised. When we suffer, do we still praise God? I know of lots of people that go through suffering, and what are the words that come out of their mouths? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, because I know that there are others that are experiencing things much worse. Those were the words from Bobby last night, realizing that she is just beginning the process that people go through in their battle with cancer. And so sometimes we suffer just so God can be praised. And wouldn't that be great if, you know, and I've thought about this. How long will it be before I get cancer? Because then I am forced. I've said so much that I'm going to be forced to say, thank you, Lord. I won't be able to come in one of these doors without saying, thank you, Jesus, because the signs that we have out there. Now, I don't want cancer, but maybe that's what God would want so that I can bring glory in my suffering to God or praise to God. When we suffer, I want you to remember four things. Four reasons why we might suffer. Four things to remember when we do suffer. 2 Corinthians 4. I'm going to turn to a few verses here. 2 Corinthians 4, and maybe you're in the middle of suffering and you want to remember what these are. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. I want you to remember that this world isn't the end. This isn't the end. I mean, I have been with people who have found out that they are dying. They're going to go on hospice. And I am there. And they can believe two things. They can believe that this is the end. They're going to die now because that's what hospice means. And so there's no hope. They're at the end. All is lost. Or you can believe, this is just a little part of my life. And when you're talking about eternal life, the first 80 years or 90 years on this earth are pretty small. And too often we get the idea that this is it. I'm going to die. When actually we're just about ready to live. And it should be an exciting time. This world isn't the end. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish with cancer or the sword or a heart attack or stroke or whatever, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, you read what Paul went through. He did not, in my view, go through light afflictions. He went through terrible afflictions. I've never been beaten with, 39 stripes, because they stopped it at 39 or 39, 40, and whatever, wherever they stopped it, it was because one more stripe could kill the person. But Paul went through that twice. And he got stoned with stones outside the city. Now, these weren't light afflictions, but in light of eternity. These are but light affliction, which is but for a moment. Crawling back into the city. But that was just for a moment. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen here on the earth, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, temporary. But the things which are not seen, they're eternal. I want you to remember that this world isn't the end. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And the angels beckon me. And I can't wait to go. And I know I have to because it's up to God. But this world isn't the end. This is just a bitty part. And so if I have to suffer for 40 years, that's but a small part of my life. Number two, I want you to remember this. God uses these things for some kind of good. Now, don't have me explain what kind of good is going to come out of whatever you're going through. I do not know. All I know is that God says that if you're a believer, then God is working all of these things in your life for good to you. Romans 8:28. And I can't explain it. And it's probably not the right counsel that I want to give. If you come and you say, well, you know, I'm dying with this, and I'm not going to say, well, God is going to make something good come out of it. Now, it might be true. Well, it is true. It is true. But I wouldn't use that counsel, because right now when they're hurting, that's not what you want to tell them. But if sometime they need to grasp that and hear that. He will make some kind of good come out of it. Joseph must have wondered sometimes, don't you think so? I mean, here, just when things get good, the bottom falls out. He just gets this beautiful colored coat. you know, he wasn't very smart in how he went about explaining it to his brothers. But see, this coat meant that he was going to get a double portion of his father's inheritance. He was the favored one. So he wore the coat of many colors. Not too popular among his brothers. But here he is. He just gets the recognition, and his brothers take and throw him in a pit, sell him as a slave. He goes, and as a slave, he becomes in charge of all of Potiphar's house. So he's risen up in the ranks. And just when things are going great, Potiphar's wife pulls a #MeToo, and phew, the bottom falls out. And he's back in prison. And where is this going, God? God uses things for our good. And he saved Israel because of this. Number three, God can use our suffering to increase our ministry. Our ministry to others. I'm going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I know we were right in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through, verses 3 through 5. Says, blessed be to God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. What Paul's saying here, we sometimes suffer so that we can come along somebody else that is going through the very same thing. The ladies in this church that went through multiple miscarriages are able to come alongside a young lady who goes through her first. And encourages them. This is going to be okay. It seems like the end of the world, but it can be okay. We have ladies in this church that can come alongside of those that experience physical sexual abuse. And they can come alongside somebody else who, because they have the scars of the past, they can come along someone who's just being recently wounded and encourage them. And say, you can get through this. That's what happens when somebody gets diagnosed with cancer. There are others that crowd around her and say, "This is okay. You're going to get through this. God is with you." Somebody that has experienced an abusive spouse can come alongside of somebody that carries the welts and encourage them that God hasn't forgotten them. And they're not going through this because it's a punishment, but that it might be used later to minister to others. Battling addictions. See, we sometimes a person goes through an addiction and finds that they have a ministry to those that are going through the same thing they went through. Whether it be with pornography, or whether it be with drugs, or whether it be with alcohol, or whether it be, you know, opioids of all different kinds. We can help others. Number four, we suffer because it helps us understand what happened to Jesus Christ. The one who has suffered more than any of us would ever be able to suffer if we spent all of our 80, 90 years on this earth going through suffering. Jesus Christ went through a greater suffering because he suffered for our sin, not his own, but our sin. And you realize that Jesus is the only one that determines that determined that he could lay down his life. You say, well, what about kamikaze pilots? What about suicide bombers? They're determining to end their life. No, they're just determining to end their life before they get old, because they're going to die anyway. They're just kind of choosing the time. Jesus Christ didn't have to die, but he willingly laid down his life for us. God demonstrated or commended his life to us. He demonstrated that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. God allows things to happen to us for a reason, though we seldom know why, honestly. I think it's seldom. Sometimes we know, but mostly we don't know why we go through suffering. So we have to remember that God is always good. He's always just, he's always loving, he's always merciful, he's always right. That's why the psalmist in Psalm 134 says, "Praise the Lord, for he is good. Praise him, for he is good." So when we reach those places we don't understand, that's when Solomon's advice kicks in for us. In Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding," because our own understanding is pretty distorted. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." That's why we have to trust. If we knew why God was doing everything, we wouldn't have to trust. But we must. Job had to do this. He was called a righteous man. He had a right standing with God. And yet he lost his fortune, all of his herds. He lost his family, all of his kids and their spouses and grandkids. And he lost his health. And he still says in Job 13, he says, "Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. Naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Praise still goes to God. "Thank you, Jesus," is the way I would put it. Or, "Thank you, Lord." But God answers differently, doesn't he? I prayed and asked the Lord to reveal where my cell phone was. It's still there. Probably with that purse you lost, or with your car keys someplace that you haven't been able to find. You'll probably find my cell phone there. But I don't stop praying. I lose the money at the ladies' retreat, and I finally pray, and find it immediately. So my cell phone got its head cut off, and the money got released by an angel. But I still pray. I say, thank you, Jesus. Even maybe it was a blessing that my phone got. It must be for some reason. But prayer was made. Don't stop praying just because you think God isn't listening. He still hears our prayers. We have prayer shawls that we give out to people, and we try to keep up with them. In a week or so, Jean Collins is going to go visit her brother. 91 years old. Oh, 82. 82 years old. Okay. And Jean is going with one purpose in mind. You know what it is? Lead him to the Lord. Share Jesus Christ with him. I know it's the work of the Holy Spirit. So she's not going to go alone. She's going to take this prayer shawl to present to Calvin and pray with Calvin and share Jesus Christ with Calvin. And she's not just going to go with this prayer shawl. She's going to go with the prayers of us, a church family. We have a responsibility. We're here because we are a hospital. And we're here to help those that are sick, because next week we might be sick and need some help. And so Jean is going to go, and she's going to go with our prayers. And we're going to pray for her right now. Father, we are gathered here because we want to see Calvin come to know you as personal Savior. We want to see Calvin in glory when we get there. And Jean is burdened for her brother. And so I am asking, Lord, that you might give her the right words to say as she approaches him, that Calvin might sense the love that Jean has for him and the love that Jean has for her Savior, so that Jesus might become his Savior as well. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So when we pray and things don't go and the head gets cut off of our prayers, we can't stop praying. There are reasons. We don't know what those reasons might be. But we don't stop praying. Do you think the group felt that Peter was going to be released from prison because they prayed? They prayed for James. He didn't get released. They prayed for Peter. What's on their mind? He's not going to get released either. I mean, it didn't work the last. And we know that later in the story. We're not to that part yet. But Peter knocks on the door, and they say, and Rhoda, the housekeeper, says, Peter's at the door. And they said, no, he's not. He's in prison. He's going to be killed. We're just here praying because we're supposed to pray. Don't stop praying. It might seem difficult, but keep praying. God hears our prayers, and he'll answer them just the way they need to be answered. Let's pray. Father, you know the times that I've cried out and said, don't you care, because of some request that I'm asking for. And it seems that you do not hear. Lord, I apologize. Ask you to forgive me for the thoughts that I had during those times. Realize thinking that the suffering or whatever I was going through was because of punishment. Thinking you didn't care. Thinking that you didn't hear. That you weren't concerned. Forgive me, Lord. Might I realize that you're a sovereign God, good all the time. I pray the same for those that are hurting in this auditorium this morning. Bless them, please. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.